these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 4. And this will be Brother Huey Moak's message from this text. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It is a privilege to be here and to be able to read the Word of God to you and to know of the power of this Word. And so, if you will, let's join in a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, we come this morning, and Lord, we ask that You may bear our hearts to us that we may know it, and that, Father, we may be made low, that we may be made high again. Our Father, we pray and we thank Thee that You have brought us together as brethren, that, Lord, in Your divine wisdom and determined knowledge, that this meeting was to be, and it is. And for that, Father, we give You praise and glory. Father, we thank You that we could come to a place with brethren of a like faith, and that, Father, we may be encouraged and strengthened. And so, Father, for all that will take place, the planning, and all that will happen to bring these meetings to be, we pray, Father, that it be of Your will, and that, Father, each and every decision that is made, that it be to honor and glorify You. And now, dear Father, as we have read Your Word, we ask, Lord, that You may bless the reading of it. And, Father, as Brother Huey will come, and as he will bring the message this morning from Your Word, we ask, Lord, this morning that You may bless him as he proclaims Your truth. For we do ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen.
I met Brother Huey Moak when I was 16 years old. He was my pastor. Most of my formative understanding of the Word of God and of what it means to be a pastor has come from him. He is my mentor. If I am Timothy, he is Paul. And I am thankful to God for our 36-year friendship and fellowship. Brother Huey is a man that when you stay around him, you are more impressed. There are some people that you are very impressed with when you first meet them, but the more you're with them, the less impressed you are. It's just the opposite with Brother Huey. I gave an acknowledgement to him in my dissertation, and I thanked him for all of his support and encouragement. And then I said this, and I believe it to be true. He is a prayer warrior that this generation or very few generations have ever met and been privileged to fellowship with. We used to, at a point in our life, come on Saturday evening and pray together. I just hurried up and finished my prayer so I could hear him. The Lord has blessed him. He's been faithful at one church for 36 years. He's led that church from a typical Southern Baptist church into a church that now embraces the doctrines of grace and one that is a very needed and established congregation in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Brother Huey is a fine preacher from Bogachita, Mississippi, and which is, he calls, God's country. And indeed, if men like Huey Moak are raised up out of that place, then I would agree. It is indeed a country that God has blessed. So, Brother Huey, you come and preach to us.
I confess to you, I'm not usually on this type of a stage. But every time Kerry gets any kind of a position anywhere, they elected him as a vice president of the pastor's conference in Louisiana. So he calls me up and says, when do you want to preach and what do you want to preach? And so he was in the mix here, and he called me up and he said, this is what we're going to preach. What, you have a topic. But I stand before you grateful and somewhat grieved that Rebecca and I will be leaving immediately after I preach to do a funeral this afternoon. I drank from the well of living water. I lost Joe. Where'd he go? From the well of living water last night with Joe and Brother David Miller. And I know that well still has much water in it in the remaining services of this conference. If there is, and there is, such a thing as the student exceeding the mentor, and Brother Kerry Kimbrell has surely done that to my joy and my delight as he has been used of God in many places. Well, the power of the Word of God. Brother Mark read out of Hebrews the last Sunday of 07. I finished a series in Hebrews, covered somewhere 150 plus sermons in 4 years or 5 years, something or another like that. And so I know my people for all those years were expecting to turn to Hebrews. They followed me through, and I am very grateful. I am a strong believer in expository preaching. I've done it for just about the whole of my ministry. The power of the Word of God. This scripture right here that we're looking at, that word power is a word which means energy, effectual, powerful, operative. The King James translates it power. The New King James translates it powerful. The other translations vary in active and other words, but I have the New King James, and we take it to be the powerful Word of God. I find in these verses, and we're going to go away from them, but we'll come back. I find in these verses the Word of God, omnipotent, all-powerful. I find in these verses the Word of God, omniscient, all-knowing. And I find in these verses the Word of God, omnipresent, present everywhere. Basically, I think you could put power into two categories, or authority or power. One category being that of delegated power or authority. And you understand delegation of power. The other category being what we would call inherent power. That power of authority existing in someone as a natural, inseparable quality of their being. Now, when we boil it down, there is only one being who has inherent power, and that is God Himself. All other powers, delegated power. We're in the political process, and God will delegate power to someone to become our next president. You and I, when we stand here, or when we open this book, it is with delegated power that we stand to preach the Word of the living God. Now, there is then, when you speak of the Word of God, an aspect where we have to ask ourselves, who is behind the Word? For instance, where I grew up over in Boca Chica, Mississippi, we talked about a man being a man of his word. Or you could go to the bank on what he said. You see, but it was the person behind the word. And so when we talk about the powerful Word of God, then we have to look back at this God who has spoken this word to us, and we find that this word then gains its delegated, inherent power from the omnipotent God Himself. God is, Revelation 19:6 says, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The definitions of omnipotence, J.P. Boyce says, power in God, therefore, may be defined to be the effective energy inherent in His nature by which He is able to do all things. A.H. Strong says, the power of God to do all things which are the objects of power, whether with or without the use of means. A.W. Tozer says, all His acts are done without effort. The omnipotent power of God is that power that is never depleted. It is the power whose monitor or meter is always on full. You go out to drink your battery in a little while, and sooner or later that battery will be depleted of its power if we did not have a generator, alternator to rebuild that power. But with the God who is the God of power and who infuses His power into the Word is a God who is omnipotent, and the level of His omnipotence never, ever, ever changes. What I want to do then is go away from the passage in Hebrews and then come back to it. First of all, I want to give you some random survey related to the power of God. I want you to think with me about the power of the spoken word. The power of the spoken word. Preaching comes and falls within this relationship. In the book of Hebrews 11, verse 3, the scripture says, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. And if you turn to Genesis chapter 1, you'll find 8 times in that first chapter of Genesis where it says, and then God said. And when God said, when He stepped out into the emptiness of nothing and said and spoke, the world of creation came into existence. The mighty power of the spoken Word of God as God expresses it so. Listen to Psalm 33, this awesome statement. In verse 6 it says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Verse 9, listen, for He spoke and it was done. He says, He commanded and it stood fast. God spoke and it was done. God commanded and it stood fast. My dear friends, God speaks by the mighty power of His Word, and it is accomplished. Another example of this mighty power of God's Word is, if you'll go with me into the 11th chapter of the book of John, and there we'll find two grieving sisters whose brother has just died. The Lord Jesus comes late for the funeral, and He gets there, and they both express their grief to Him. And then He says to them, where have you laid Him? And as He walked with them to the tomb, He said to them, roll away the stone. They said, Lord, He's already decaying. He will stink if we roll the stone away. But at His word, they roll the stone away. He looks up into the heavens. He blesses God for hearing his prayer. And he says, I pray this and say this for these. And then, watch the door of the tomb, if you will. He then says, Jesus, our omnipotent Lord, says, Lazarus, come forth. And for a few seconds, every eye focused upon the door of that tomb, and lumbering out in his grave clothes comes Lazarus. The mighty, omnipotent power of God's spoken word. Now, you can follow that throughout the word of God. But I just put that before us to get you a glimpse of the omnipotence of this word as God speaks it to us. Jesus himself has said that there is coming a day when those that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall come forth from the dead. He said over in 1 Thessalonians, he said, and the Lord shall descend with a shout. That same omnipotent command of the living Christ that shall bring from the dead all those who are dead in Christ Jesus. God's omnipotent power in His spoken word. The power of God, number two, in the written word of God. Now we deal with that written word, and that written word has within it, of course, the accounts of that spoken word. Let me carry you into Kings. There was a young man named Josiah who about 8 years of age took the throne of the nation. About the age of 26, he decided it was time to repair the temple. And so he spoke to Hilkiah, the high priest, and the others who were responsible, and he said to them, clean out the temple. We want to restore it, repair it. We want to use it for worship again of Yahweh God. Now, you know the story, how in the process of cleaning out the temple, they discovered the book of the law. Apparently, from what we can understand, Manasseh's reign or wherever, the book of the law had been lost. Josiah, who according to the teachings of Moses in Deuteronomy should have received a copy of the book of the law when he took the kingship of the nation of Israel. He didn't. He'd never heard, never seen, never read, never had read. In the providence of time, they brought that book of the law to Josiah and read it to him, and you know what happened. He immediately wept and tore his robes in an act of repentance. He was suddenly smitten with how far the people had gone from the Word of God, and he was smitten because the written Word of God said that the people were under judgment. He sought out a prophetess. He received a word from God, and God said to him, this judgment, these curses, I will carry out upon this nation. But because you were tender in heart, because you repented and wept over the sins, your sins, and the sins of the people, then he says, I will not do it in your day. I'll bring you to the grave in peace. The power of that book of the law, as Hilkiah the priest read it to young Josiah, 26 years of age, it immediately, he bowed before it. It cut his heart. It brought repentance and brought him into an effort to restore, to reform the nation. Now, we don't know how far it went, to be sure, but we do know he gave it his best shot at reforming the nation, you see. He revived Yahweh worship
simply because the written word had pierced his heart and had opened his understanding of God and his directions and demands and will and law and rule for those people. Go with me to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, you don't have to turn there because I'm going to just run through it. Daniel chapter 5, we're having a big party. I mean, old Belshazzar, he apparently knew how to party hardy. And he was after it. All his wives and concubines and everybody he could bring in. And they were having, maybe it was something like they have down in New Orleans a little bit later on, but they were into a party. And for some reason, I think probably myself, it was in effort to show a attitude of defiance to Yahweh God. But for some reason, he remembered walking through the archives and he had seen some gold plates and goblets and so forth and so on. And some reason, he called for them, bring them out here. And they were drinking wine from the goblets that had come from the temple in Jerusalem. And they were worshiping the gods of iron and wood and gold and silver. And suddenly, he saw the fingers of a man's hand. Now, you talking about a man getting sober in a hurry. Belshazzar sobered up in a hurry. And the fingers of that man's hand wrote the Word of God across the plaster on the wall. Your kingdom has been weighed. You have been weighed and found wanting. And tonight, he didn't write this, but tonight you shall die. His knees began to knock. He immediately called for anyone that could come and to tell him what the writing meant. And you know God sent Daniel. But the point I'm making is that when God wrote His Word on the plaster of that palace that night, it had a mighty effect upon the mind and heart of a man who was mighty in power, who was a sovereign, who could take life or give life, who could offer or take. He broke, he bowed before the message that God had written to him. I'm saying to you that the written Word of God is powerful in its impact upon people. You and I have seen the same. We have opened the Holy Scriptures and we have watched with utter awe and amazement as the Word of God pierced a heart, opened a mind, and turned loose repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have watched its power. The Word of God is powerful. It's living and it's powerful. Belshazzar, a word of judgment. Josiah, a word of life, commitment, and a word of direction. The power of the Word of God. Let me bring you back to Hebrews now for a few moments. The power of the living Word of God. I'm saying to you that this Word is omnipotent. So the first thing I would say is the Word of God is powerful, number one. And under powerful, I would say to you that it is omnipotent, all-powerful, even as the one who has spoken it or who has written it and provided it for us. It is a powerful Word of God. It says, secondly, here, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the word sharper is important. We know this two-edged sword was that about 12-inch sword that the Roman soldiers used, which was an awesome weapon in hand-to-hand combat. But the word sharper, He says, this word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It can do things that a two-edged sword, no matter sharp how sharp it is, can do. When I was growing up in Boca Chica, Mississippi, everybody had a pocket knife. I carry clippers now. But everybody had a pocket knife. And the way you judge your pocket knife was it razor sharp? And so what we boys would get together, we'd whip out our pocket knife. We usually didn't have a long sleeve shirt on, if we had a shirt on at all. And we would take that knife and we would shave a few hairs from our arms. And when we demonstrated that, all of those in the group knew that our pocket knife was sharp, sure enough. Now, this sword was sharper than any Roman soldier could sharpen it. He may have been able to sharpen his beard, to shave his beard with his sword. But this one is sharper. So secondly, it is sharper for the purpose of penetration in to the very heart and mind and soul of a human being. You see, the Roman sword could cut the flesh. It could take a limb off. It could disembowel you. But this sword of the Word of God goes down into the deepest recesses of your and my being and knows us. Knows us. Therefore, I would say to you then that the Word of God is omniscient. It knows all things. That word omniscience, let me get you a definition or two. That means that it is perfect and has perfect and eternal knowledge of anything that can be known, whether actual or possible, past, present, or future. The Word of God is omniscient. It knows you and it knows me. In Psalm 139, we declare this to be a statement of the omniscience of God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. This living, powerful Word of God, this sword, Paul said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it penetrates omnisciently into the very depths of your and my being. It knows our words before we speak them, our thoughts before we think them. It knows our motives. It knows our goals, our aims, our ambitions. It knows everything there is to know about you and about me. It knows more about you and me than we know about ourselves. The living, powerful Word of God. Penetrating, powerful, omnipotent, penetrating, omniscient. Look at that next verse. There's an awesome change in verse 13. For it says, there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have, to whom we must give account, or to whom we have to do. Now you notice it says, His sight, the eyes of Him. So there is the power, omnipotence. There is the penetration, omniscience. And there then is the personification of the Word of God. In verse 13, the Word of God becomes the God of the Word. And the God of the Word is omnipresent. And so in verse 13, he is saying to us then that this living, powerful, penetrating, personified Word of God is omnipresent. In the book of Psalms, again, let me read you further in that same chapter as David contemplated the greatness of God. Verse 7, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you." The Word of God, the God of this Word, as it says here, nothing is hidden from His sight. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the Word of God. It says also, everything is naked and opened to the eyes of Him with whom we must give an account. The powerful Word of God, the penetrating Word of God, the personified Word of God, the God of the Word. Now this deals with our inner being, and I don't fault those who have what they call accountability partners. But do you know, my dear friend, the greatest accountability partner you and I could have is the Word of God. If we will saturate our mind and fill our heart and allow it to do its mighty work of penetrating, a powerful work of searching us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. We can have 6 accountability partners, but if we're not honest with God and His Word and with ourselves on the inside, we will go into sin no matter how many people are trying to hurt us the right way. You see? And I'm not knocking accountability partners. I'm just trying to illustrate what the Word of God in its power, in its penetration, in its personification will do if we will enable it to find a lodging in our minds, in our hearts. It will saturate our soul with the Word of God. All right, let me go to one last one. And it is, we'll cover it quickly, the power of the incarnate Word of God. The Apostle John had privilege to record these words from his pen. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He had privilege to record these words, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." This Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made an awesome claim in His post-resurrection appearance out there in Galilee. You remember that claim? He said in 28th chapter of Matthew, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." How could He make such a claim? He made such a claim because actively He obeyed to perfection the law of God. And passively He became our sacrificial substitute on the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for your sins and for my sins. And because of that, God had highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And therefore, because of the Father, because of His obedience, and because of His cross work, the Lord Jesus Christ had been endowed by the Father with all authority and power in heaven and in earth. And it is His Word that we love and read and adore and preach and live by and obey. It is His Word that we come to. Now, this Lord Jesus Christ exercised this for two purposes. I'm summing it all up. Salvation. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Jew first and also to the Gentile. Now, if you perhaps are here this morning, and I would not presume on the fact that even though we all may have some type of credentials, that there perhaps would be one who has never come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And there felt the surge of the power, the regenerating Word of God to change life, to make new, to bring salvation. Or sanctification. Philippians 2, right on down a little bit, verse after God highly exalted him, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you powerfully both to will and to do of His good pleasure. This powerful incarnate Word of God then has opened the gates of heaven to all of His children and everyone who will repent of sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and live out to His glory a life that is honoring and pleasing to Him. Now, here we have it then. The Word of God is omnipotent. And we cannot resist the Word of God. In fact, we don't want to resist the Word of God. Except when we get in sin sometimes, and then we do. But we want this Word to be powerful in us, powerful to us, and powerful through us to the glory of God. We desire it. We long for it. We plead for it. We beg God to give it and grant it to us that we may preach His Word in power. It's powerful. This Word of God, therefore, is omniscient and we cannot deceive it. Foolish is the man or the woman who thinks for one moment that we might deceive, fool the Word of God. For it penetrates to the beginnings of everything in our being. You see, before we are aware, it already knows it. The Word, the omniscient Word of God. Therefore, the Word is omnipresent and we can't escape it. Oh, my dear God, never let us escape Your blessed book. Grant us grace, Father. Grant us power, Father, when we go to our pulpits on Sunday and to those who will stand in this pulpit in these remaining services. Grant, oh God, that anointing that the Word will go forth in power. The powerful Word of God. Thank you so much for this privilege, Brother.
Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful that You have taught us again the wonder of Your grace and that You have by this man again called us to the cross of Christ. For Father, once we come to Christ, we never stop coming to Christ. And this morning, afresh and anew, our hearts are filled with great joy and with excitement that we have such a word, and that you have counted us worthy, placing us in the ministry, not to figure out our own devices and schemes and speeches, but to faithfully proclaim what you have given to us. Grant it to us. Thank you for Brother Huey. Bless him. He and Miss Rebecca, as they shall go, give them safety of journey, and use him, Father, in that funeral sermon, even as you have used him here today. We pray it in the name of Christ. Amen.